540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Breaking news from Pittsburgh. A jury there has found that the gunman who shot and killed 11 people at a synagogue, Robert Bowers, is eligible for the death penalty. KDKA reporter Paul Rasmussen.
It hinged on Bowers' mental state when he killed 11 people in 2018 at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Squirrel Hill. The prosecutor succeeded in telling the jury that he knew what he was doing that day. The defense did not convince the panel Bowers was mentally ill or was acting on delusions.
That means there will be more evidence and testimony before a final sentence is announced. The government this morning approved the first over-the-counter birth control pill, as we hear from CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The drug is called Opill, and it will be available at grocery stores, pharmacies, convenience stores, and even online. Kelly Blanchard of Ibis Reproductive Health, which supported the approval.
This means we will have a highly effective, very popular birth control method available directly from pharmacies over the counter without all those barriers from the prescription requirement.
It isn't clear when it will be available or how much it will cost, though over-the-counter medicines are generally cheaper.
President Biden speaking moments ago in Finland, a country that's new to NATO.
The United States is committed to Finland, committed to NATO, and those commitments are rock solid, that we defend every inch of NATO territory.
There's star power in the latest labor dispute. The union representing Hollywood actors is expected to vote to strike today. Matt Damon says it's a move that has to be made.
We ought to protect the people who are kind of on the margins, and $26,000 a year is what you have to make to get your health insurance. Residual payments are what carry them across that threshold, and if those residual payments dry up, so does their health care, and that's absolutely unacceptable.
They're cleaning things up in the Chicago area after several tornadoes hit last night. Kathy D'Alessandro and her family moved fast when warning sirens went off in her town.
Super still, and then in came that loud rushing noise like a train. And we grabbed the dogs and the kids and ran into the basement.
At least a dozen deaths are blamed on the Southwest heat wave that's lingered for weeks and shows no let up. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
David Hondula is Phoenix's director of heat response and mitigation.
By the time you're thirsty, it's too late.
What's the first thing people need to do in heat like this?
Pay attention to your body.
The blistering heat stretches across the South from Texas.
It's hotter and hotter.
To Southern California, where temps could top 113 degrees this weekend.
And checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 62 points. The NASDAQ is up 144, and the S&P is up 25. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For WAUK The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A former Waukesha first grade teacher is fired. Melissa Temple was let go after a long hearing yesterday. Temple got in trouble with the school district for criticizing the school district's decision to ban the song Rainbow Land from the spring concert at Higher Elementary School. The school district says the song was inappropriate. Temple says she's a victim of censorship. A Waukesha bus driver faces sexual assault charges. Prosecutors accuse Michael Meyer of sexually assaulting a girl with special needs on several occasions. Investigators found almost 1,300 text messages between Meyer and the alleged victim between 2021 and as recently as last month. Prosecutors say he also made the girl watch pornography and had illegal pictures of her on his phone. Meyer was in court yesterday where his bail was set at $1 million. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrifin has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thereichmans.com/disclosure.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Iron Plow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board today. And it is Thursday at 11, which means it's time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Doctor, are you still in Arizona? Are you? You look like you're not in the heat this week.
Nope, I'm back up north.
All right, all right. Well, Greg, do you have any questions about women's health?
So many questions. No, actually, I do have one. I have one quick thing. No, when I have a question, I look it up. I don't fear these things like other men. I'm a real man. No, wanted to say something to you, Doctor. Is I was driving last Thursday with my mom, and we were listening to the show, and you all were talking. And I said, oh, Dr. Lyerly's on. That must mean it's time for the public service announcement. And my mom goes, I like that.
Yay, Mom. Yep. That's awesome. And Greg, I'm so glad you're here because we're going to talk a little bit about men's health, too.
It's about time.
Every once in a while. All right. So if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. You can also call them in. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can always email us asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. My first question, though, is the new train of thought for some OBGYNs and gynos when it comes to pregnancy, and instead of expecting that the baby's going to come when the baby wants to come, inducing at 39 weeks. This mm-hmm. is a new thing?
Well, I mean, within the last, I don't know, decade-ish. Okay. Yeah. So a big study came out, probably, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, where there was evidence that inducing people at 39 weeks actually reduced the risk of bad things happening after that. So we think babies are done at 39 weeks. Like, they are well enough formed. Their outcomes are really good.
They're cooked.
So if we, they are, I was going to say cooked, but
they're fully,
so
they're
like
fully, they're ripe.
Ding.
This one's got a good sizzle.
And, you know, after that, when you think about, like, bad things can happen. And, you know, I always am careful talking with you about pregnancy because I don't want to talk about horrible things, but bad things do happen sometimes in pregnancy. Like, for example, stillbirth. I've seen people have stillbirth at 39 and 4. And if we had induced that pregnancy at 39 weeks, would that baby be alive? You got to believe that I think about that stillbirth on a regular basis, and those parents who suffered it think about it every single day. So things like that happen, but so do things like blood pressure problems, gestational hypertension, and preeclampsia, and, you know, other abruption, like other problems can happen. So if the pregnancy is done at 39 weeks, then there are advantages to inducing and trying to achieve a vaginal delivery. It also reduces the risk for a C-section. Babies continue to grow if they stay inside. And if it gets to be 41 weeks, they might get so big that they don't fit through the birth canal. So there are, your face, your face is like something I don't want to think about.
No, so, I was a 9-pound baby, so I'm preparing that I could have a giant child.
I was a big one too.
So, and it, sometimes it doesn't matter. It's like the way they come out, or like a shoulder can get stuck under your pubic bone. That can be an issue. Like, there are lots of crazy things that can happen, which is why we can't legislate childbirth. Mm-hmm. We can't legislate pregnancy. We have to be able to make those decisions on an individual basis. But yeah, I mean, it can definitely reduce the risk, but you have to take everybody's circumstances on an individual basis. So what we typically do is we check your cervix right around 39 weeks to see how dilated or effaced are you. And if your cervix seems ripe is the word that we use.
Okay.
If you're ripe enough, then we can proceed. And the chances of success are really pretty significant if you're pretty ripe. If you're not very ripe and we don't have a medical indication, then often we'll wait and you know, just keep checking and recommend walking and intercourse. Intercourse is great for inducing labor.
Good to know.
Don't look at me when you say that. My God.
Samson's going to be very excited about that piece of information.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
There are prostaglandins in semen, and prostaglandins help to soften the cervix and to encourage labor. So
is it an old wives' tale of like the walking on the curb? So you're like creating... I feel like I've seen very pregnant women do that, where it's like one foot on the curb, one foot on the street. And so you're kind of creating like this uneven like waddle. Is that an old wives' tale?
It sounds like a terrible rap song.
I don't know about inducing labor, but the thing I like about that is it helps to move your pelvis around, and that helps to get the baby more situated and more like, you know, like tucked in and putting more pressure, more of that head pressure down on the cervix internally. So that can certainly help move things along. And we recommend that in labor, if possible, moving around, sitting on a ball, if you don't have an epidural, getting in the tub, being on hands and knees, whatever you can do. Midwives do this really, really well. Doctors don't do it nearly as well, but just, you know, moving our patients around so that they're moving their pelvis and the baby can get really tucked in there.
So I have to admit that, and this is anecdotal and I am not a doctor, but of my friends who've had babies, the what feels like when I hear their birthing story, the disproportionate amount of women who've been induced, then had like 30-hour labors only to eventually have to get a C-section anyways, which sounds like a living nightmare. It's like all of the worst things, like a super long labor and a C-section on top of it. And so is that a risk with induction? It's like this kid's just not ready to come out, and we induced anyways, and now this is a scenario. Or is that just random that I have had that many? I would say it's 6 of my friends. That was their birth story.
You have to start with why. Why were they being induced? Was it elective because they were 39 weeks and they were just ready to have their baby? Or was there a medical reason? Often it's really common to have blood pressure problems or advanced maternal age. If you are over 35, maybe you would consider having your baby sooner than later. Okay. So you have to start with that reason, that indication for induction. If it's totally elective and we start an induction, like say we started using some cervical ripening medication and it wasn't working, you can always just stop and go home, sleep. Relax, come back a couple days later, see if your cervix is starting to change. If it's an elective induction, there's no medical reason to do it. We don't have to push it. But if there is a reason that we need to get you delivered, a maternal reason or a fetal reason, then often we'll continue to push. And that's typically where we end up with these long inductions that do have a higher risk of cesarean delivery, often because we start with an unripe cervix that's not quite ready.
Got it. Okay. What are the other, I guess, kind of just to wrap it up, but like, what are the other risks of induction?
Yeah. So failure, like we just talked about, that depends on your cervical status. Once we give you medications, and there are a couple different ways to do it, if we cause too many contractions or if the baby is not tolerating it well, we can cause fetal stress. And we're always watching on the monitor when we are applying an intervention. So if we cause fetal stress and we can't back off on it, we can't stop the induction, then that could end up in a C-section. And then there's a rare risk of infection, especially if we've broken the bag of waters, the risk of infection, the clock kind of starts at that point. So the risk of infection goes up. So I always like to try to get my patient delivered within 24 hours after we break her bag or after her bag breaks on its own.
Got it. So as far as my personal situation, as far as like the expectation that likely at 37 years old, that I should be totally comfortable with being induced at 39 weeks is like, there's no red flags there.
Unless you develop some sort of a pregnancy complication or a blood pressure problem, I don't think you need to worry about it. And I would even say after 37 weeks, which is technically term, that's early term, you can start doing things to kind of bring it on yourself, like having sex, like nipple stimulation. That is a great way. I know it sounds crazy,
I'm not embarrassed. I just love thinking about our listeners right now and nipple stimulation.
Or you can take it to the curb, take it to the street. Oh, that's a new song. I'm writing that song now. That's mine. That's all mine, baby.
That's where Greg goes to distract us from nipple stimulation. But I'm going to bring us back to nipple stimulation.
You can
pump, or you can actually, like, your partner can do nipple stimulation. But that causes your body to release oxytocin. And oxytocin is the hormone that you make that causes uterine contractions. You may have heard of Pitocin, which is the medicine that we can give people. That's the man-made version of oxytocin. So if you can make your own oxytocin by, you know, pumping or stimulating your nipples, then you can induce your own labor. Don't do it before 37 weeks, though.
Okay. Yeah, that was the big surprise yesterday, because I had, you know, my maternity plan, my maternity leave, like I was like, this is the week I'm going to leave. And my doctor's yesterday was like, well, like, she could come sooner than that. So maybe have a contingency plan that, like, Greg and Jane are taking over sooner than the last week of September. So we will see. But if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, we still have one more segment with her. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls. Otherwise, big news with birth control that we'll talk about when we come back. And also another drug for Alzheimer's. So we're going to talk about both of those when we come back for a public service announcement on As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned. To sit and tit and sit and tit chat and smile. Don't send me no doctor.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 78. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Partly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 86. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Kristen Bry, he is Greg Bach on the board today, and we are talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly because it is that time of the week when we do public cervix announcement, and we actually have a caller having a question. Mark from the SAC, what is your question for the doctor?
Well, it's not really a question, but I really appreciate the discussion here that I had a human sexuality class way back when. This is back in the late 70s when I was in college, and I learned all the lady parts, and that because I figured, if I'm going to be engaged with women, that I should actually know what's going on rather than just being ignorant about it. And I think it would be a far better world if we introduced young women and young men, and at some point in school, with comprehensive sex education, because I think we'd have far fewer issues when it comes to, unwanted pregnancies and people wouldn't be so uptight about stuff. It just amazes me how we're backsliding here. And I smile every time I hear the public cervix announcement.
That's the goal.
Winners and Republicans, but I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for what you're doing here. And I appreciate you coming on and, trying to educate people, because it's something that, unfortunately, Republicans seem to be diseducating people these days.
Well, thanks for the call, Mark. I'm sure that sexuality class served you well in life in more ways than one. I would say, to this day, one of my favorite courses in college was the evolution of human sexuality that took like an evolutionary biology look at all of the things that we do as humans, from marriage to mating to child like rearing and all of the different things, and looked at primates, but also looked at like different kinds of societies, whether it was agriculture or hunting and gathering. It was fascinating. And you can still, I think you can buy the book. It was by Malcolm Potts, and it's called Ever Since Adam and Eve. That was our reader. But Ever Since Adam and Eve, The Evolution of Human Sexuality. Can't recommend it enough. It is fascinating. And I am biased because I did work as like a sex health educator for a little while, so I find this stuff fascinating. I know some people blush, but I think it's very important. So I am very happy that you are here, Dr. Lyerly, every week for us to talk about it in a mature, informative way.
Me too. And, you know, as long as we're giving book recommendations, and Mark, thank you for the call and your thoughtful comments. There is a book called The Guide to Getting It On. And it is like the...
I had that book. I had that book at 17. So this obviously was an interest that started early.
Yeah. It's a great book. And it really, it explains all of the things, all of the questions that you have that you didn't know the answers to. They're in this book. And it really teaches you how to, I mean, most of us at some point in our lives have some sort of sexual contact. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to do it well and in a healthy way. And man, if everybody had the strength to ask those questions and to, it's just so hard. It's so hard to talk about these things, but the book is a great way to get that information without having to, you know, ask another person. So The Guide to Getting It On, highly recommended.
It's also thicker than any dictionary you own, I promise.
No.
It is a thick, informative, well-researched book.
No comment.
It is like, it's...
And easy to read. And you can just read it in chapters. Like if there's a certain thing you're interested in, like go to the index, read it. It takes like a minute. And then you're like, good.
Got it. All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Which of the two new, the drug for Alzheimer's or the over-the-counter birth control that just got approved, which one should we touch on before we got to let you go?
Oh, Kristen, the pill. Let's talk about the pill because this is such a big deal. Yeah. So, you know, birth control pills have been around since 1960. So for a long time, we have been trying to get some sort of a pill over the counter for a very long time. Almost 100 other countries have an over-the-counter pill option. And we, in January or February, somewhere early next year, are going to have one too. It's the oat pill. We talked about this in the past. The oat pill.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that just happened this morning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the notification just came in this morning. This has been a long time coming, and we knew it had unanimous approval from a pre-FDA board a couple months ago. So we've known that this has been on its way, and it is finally here. And it couldn't come at a better time because, you know, now in the post-Dobbs era, although Republicans want to paint all of us as irresponsible people who just get pregnant and use abortions as birth control, those of us who can get pregnant know that that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's not the truth. So this is a game changer because there are a lot of barriers to receiving, to being able to access contraception. And one is you can't afford healthcare. Yeah. So if you can get this over the counter, if it's affordable and available, then people are going to use it. And there is no age restriction on the oat pill. So 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, people younger than 18 are having unprotected sex. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get this medication too.
Anything else, people? So January is, it's not going to be available this year, but it's looking like January. Anything else people should know if they are thinking that this would be their chosen form of birth control?
Uh-huh. This is not the pill that we typically think of. So when we think of the pill here in the United States, we think of an estrogen progestin combination birth control pill. This is just the progestin. So it's the mini pill. For those of you who have breastfed, you may be familiar with the mini pill. It's a little pickier. It works by thickening cervical mucus and by preventing ovulation. So this does not cause an abortion. It prevents pregnancy. It's a little pickier because you have to take it at the same time every day. So you'll have to set an alarm on your phone or just if you have a regular routine, that makes it a lot easier. The risk of failure is a little bit higher than with the combination contraception pills. So again, using a second method is not a bad idea, like a condom for a second method. That also helps to prevent sexually transmitted infections. So that's always strongly recommended. But overall, it is a very effective form of birth control. And we in the OBGYN community, I would have to say, as a community of women, are thrilled about this news from the FDA.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Food and Drug Administration's approved the first over-the-counter birth control pill. Kelly Blanchard, president of a nonprofit reproductive health group.
Oat pill is a progestin-only daily birth control pill. It has a very long and well-established safety and effectiveness record.
A jury pushes Robert Bowers, the man who shot and killed 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue, closer to a possible death sentence. Reporter Shelby Cassesi.
The death penalty remains on the table in the Bowers case as it advances to the sentencing phase, where Bowers will either be given life in prison or sentenced to death.
President Biden speaking today in Finland, a country that is now becoming acquainted with NATO membership.
We affirmed how Finland and the United States together with allies and partners are working in lockstep to set us on a stronger, safer, and more secure path.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
For WAUK The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is getting the largest donation in school history. The Zilber Family Foundation is giving $20 million to support public health education at the Zilber College of Public Health. The record gift will support faculty and research. It will create new student scholarships and help improve the health of Southeast Wisconsin. A former Waukesha first grade teacher is fired. Melissa Temple was let go after a long hearing yesterday. Temple got in trouble with the school district for criticizing the decision to ban the song Rainbow Land from the spring concert at Higher Elementary School. The school district says the song was inappropriate. Temple says no one told her which part of the song is controversial. Temple says she's a victim of censorship. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
This Thursday begins the four-day 120th Harley-Davidson Festival in Milwaukee. Featuring live performances by big-name artists, expect a weekend filled with fun and activities for enthusiasts of all ages. Harley-Davidson.com for more info. On Friday, check out the sounds of summer at the Yard in Bayshore. Head to the Green Gathering Space in the heart of Bayshore and jam out to the sounds of summer live music series. Local bands and performers take the mic every Friday night from 6 till 9. Check out Bastille Days this Saturday. Visit Paris via Cathedral Square Park. Celebrate one of the country's biggest French-themed gatherings. Learn more at easttown.com/Bastille-Days. And on Sunday, the Milwaukee Makers Market is a perfect seasonal stop for lovers of arts and crafts. The market meets from 10 to 4 every third Sunday of the month.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kiner, at info@civicmedia.com. US.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Buck on the board today, and we are welcoming back our friend Chris Drosner, who is the Wisconsin Beer Baron. He is also the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine, and he's the author of the Beer Baron column at Wisconsin State Journal in Madison. Has it been 2 months? Did we miss last month?
I think it has been. Oh. It has been, yeah.
Well,
you're overdue for your public Cerveza announcement.
Ooh.
Oh!
How long
from
have you been cervixes on that one?
To Cervezas.
Oh, that was...
It took me a while to get that one.
That brilliant. Is pretty good. That is that credit where credit is due. That was very clever. tickled.
That's all the fun we're going to have on this segment. Trust me. It's going to get real down the weeds real quick here.
I know, because, you know, so often when you're on here, we talk about beer. We talk about beer festivals. We talk about the seasonal beer that's coming up. We talk about beer brackets that Milwaukee Magazine has done. But now today we're actually going to talk about policy, because when this news was breaking and the headline was, you know, Wisconsin overhaul of our alcohol like rules and laws, I kept trying to read what was in the bill. And I feel like some of the headlines that came up were like wedding barns are very upset, but, it was, even for me, who likes to sometimes get down into like the weeds of things, just seemed like wonky and like what. But it was also surprising because it was at least where it's passed so far, which is passed in the assembly with like huge bipartisan support. That doesn't happen very often. I know you did more of a deep dive of trying to like understand what is in this. Why was there so much support for it? Who's affected? Who's it good for? Like winners and losers. So let's just start from like, what have you learned? It's not passed yet, totally, and it's not signed yet, but it seems like it's progressing. So what have you learned about this bill?
Well, I think, right off the top, I think your observation is correct that there hasn't been a lot of hand-wringing over this, aside from the wedding barn. Pour one out for the wedding barn folks. They say that this thing is going to put them out of business by requiring them to get a liquor license like, you know, just about every other event space does.
Has to do.
But yeah. So that is definitely the deepest friction point. And I think the reason for that is that this has been in the works for a long time. And this is a compromise that's been negotiated over quite a bit with all the, the wedding barn folks would say not all the stakeholders at the table, but you know, Wisconsin, like most states, has what they call a three-tier system of alcohol regulation. And the three tiers are the producers, breweries, wineries, distilleries. You've got the distributors that get that kind of middle ground. They move stuff around. They are wholesalers that keep, from policy perspective, they're created back post prohibition to avoid tide houses where you have, you know, big breweries selling, you know, like in Milwaukee, every corner bar basically has like a Schlitz sign or the Schlitz globe or a Blatt sign, or, you know, those were all old tide houses. And that was the model back then. And it was very difficult to break into that business on either side if you didn't control both tiers.
The wholesalers, something to do with like prohibition and the laws.
They came in after prohibition.
I
think that kind of speaks to the, and then just to kind of cap that off, the third tier is retail, which is today grocery stores, bottle shops, bars, restaurants, anywhere where you, the customer, are buying a beer or a drink, whatever. Yeah, and all of this came about through kind of post-prohibition, which is why, I mean, it's not that the state has not updated its laws since prohibition, of course, but this is a really tightly regulated industry, and they hadn't been updated in quite a while. So there was a lot, and of course, the industry is pretty dynamic. So, I think the reason this passed 90-4,
that's insane,
in the assembly is that everybody's pretty comfortable with it. We'll see how it goes in the Senate. And I would presume with that kind of backing, you know, the same factors that are creating that landslide in the assembly, I'm assuming are probably going to, assuming are going to, you know, translate to the Senate and Evers. And a lot of it is not real sexy. Like, you know, it's an interesting topic, but it's kind of like if you really dig into it, a lot of it is kind of codifying things that were already
happening,
general practice, or you know, conforming with federal law or stuff like that. The big top line thing here is that they are creating a new division on alcohol beverages. So that's going to be the regulatory body that does things that a lot of industry people have been asking for a while. You know, these tiers do not always get along, and there are conflicts. There's questions about who pays what tax, or, you know, how all the red tape, the kind of bureaucracy works. So that's going to be a big part of it. You know, and I think the other big kind of universal change is that every bartender is going to need to get a license from the state.
Really? So that every, is big.
Yeah. Yeah. And but nobody really seems to be too upset about that, I guess. You know, I mean, like,
I have a question really quick. I work at Lakefront Brewery. That means that all of us will have to get our own licenses or renew our licenses. That's not just like a regular bar that serves all sorts of drinks. I know that when it comes to breweries, there are sometimes special dispensations because all we're doing is pouring beer. We're not mixing cocktails. We're not doing anything special other than pulling a tap handle or opening a can.
Yeah, my understanding is that breweries, bartenders will need to be licensed as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my immediate question is, what is the argument for getting the license? Like, is it just so people know, like, you're registered as far as who do we know that is in the system that is serving alcohol to people? Is there any kind of like classes or that you have to like, because again, like, as someone who worked at a beer only bar in college, it was very different than being able to like a mixologist. And so like, is it about training? Yeah. Like what goes into being licensed?
I think it's, I'm not positive, but I know there was discussion during the hearings about this, that is more on the concern side that, you know, that they're going to be doing background checks, at least cursory background checks on everybody. You know, I don't know. I honestly, that's a question I don't know.
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff that's kind of in here, at least as far as the beer industry goes, it's pretty like status quo, you know, like the big thing I think that I'm seeing is contract brewing. You know, contract brewing is where you make, where one company makes beer or alcoholic beverages for another company. So, you know, this is a pretty big business in Wisconsin. A lot of the craft brewers do it for other craft brewers, or, you know, kind of one-off things, or, you know, if you don't want to build a breweries are really expensive. If you don't want to build a brewery, you know, you can go this route, but there's really big businesses that are doing this. Molson Coors does a lot of contract brewing in Milwaukee, obviously. City Brewery in La Crosse is one of the biggest contract breweries in the country. There's a humongous craft contract brewer called Octopi Brewing in Wanakee outside Madison. So this is a big thing. And there was no mention of it at all in state statutes because it's a relatively, you know, new phenomenon. So this kind of like lays out the red tape, like who's going to, like, you know, the accounting back channels, who's responsible, where does the volume count as far as like under whose licenses? It's the licensing, who pays the taxes. And most of it had already been worked out. It's not like contract brewing was illegal in Wisconsin. It just creates a framework to go forward. And there's a lot of things like hard seltzer. Hard seltzer wasn't a thing, you know, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So now they have it, you know, the Department of Revenue decided that it was going to be taxed as beer, but it was also taxed as wine under some licenses. So this is just setting that this is in the law now, or will be, presumably, assuming it passes.
If it passes, as is, yeah.
Yeah. And it's conforming with federal regulations. So the kind of catching up, basically, things like taproom samples, beer donations, things that were and some of which, like you've gone to a tap room and gotten a sample of a beer.
Mm-hmm.
That was technically illegal before. But everybody kind of just recognized that this is the practice within the industry. And DOR said, okay, you know, they gave guidance on a lot of this stuff. This is one more fun thing. So, you know how, like, hard seltzer, right? So there were no laws for making claws in Wisconsin before.
Say that again?
Oh my God.
There were no laws when you're making claws.
You got some jokes today, Chris Strasser.
Chris, would you say then
I'm on vacation. I'm coming locked and loaded, Kristen.
Well, Chris, would you say then from your point of view as the Wisconsin beer baron and an expert in this, they threw down the claw in order? Oh boy, that's the one. That's the one.
That's the line. That's the pun line that you won't cross, Chris Drosser.
Fine. Fine.
So it sounds like no one's up in arms about this, which it feels like the little I know about the, because I'm married to someone who works with a lot of bar owners. He's worked for a distributor before. Just like, you know, sometimes there's feathers can be ruffled in this industry. Yeah. As far, and like you said, there's competing interests sometimes between those three tiers. So seemingly, despite how unsexy this is, it is an overhaul. And no one besides wedding barn owners are really that upset?
Well, yeah.
Oversimplification?
I think this is all a compromise, right? Okay. So all three tiers are kind of giving up a little, but I think the creation of a body that will just handle their business is kind of what they wanted. There's one aspect of this that is a little down in the weeds that I talked to actually a colleague of mine, my co-host on Badger Beer Hour, which is a monthly live stream that we do. It'll join us next Wednesday on Good my plug. Socials if you want to check that out. But Greg interviewed Ron Hockersmith from Amorphic Beer here in Milwaukee, and he was concerned that the inaction of the permitting stuff that allows breweries to have second locations, like pop-up type stuff, like, you know, you might have a community event and there's a local brewery has a booth there and they're selling beers at this, you know, community festival or whatever, or the beer gardens in public parks and in small like suburban stuff, those will become really popular, where it's like the 1840 beer garden at Germantown Park or you know, whatever. These he was concerned that the way that this law establishes, kind of puts all that basically makes it legal, is puts a lot of power in the local municipality's hands to potentially require more than has been required previously. And that's pretty concerning for me as a beer person, because I think this has been an awesome extension of, you know, the market and just the kind of community engagement out there. And it's, and those events are pretty important to small brewers too, you know, especially in summer, like, you know, people might not want to go inside and sit in a tap room.
Yeah. Well, my final question is, I'm guessing it doesn't address being able to buy booze after 9 p.m.
It
from a store
does not. Dang. That is pretty clear in statute, Kristen. And dang it! There is a rider for the RNC
see that. All right. Well, yeah. Chris Drosner, thank you so much. As always, we will see you again next month. Have fun on the rest of your vacation. But you can check him out at WI Beer Baron on Twitter. Check out his column in the Wisconsin State Journal. And as always, check out Milwaukee Magazine, because it's a gem. Thanks, buddy. See you later.
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Ironplow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
A no-holds-barred political conversation.
That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs level off around 78. This afternoon, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 62. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 86. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup at 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. Greg, are you now or have you ever been someone who runs?
Yes. Yes.
Have you done a lot of 5Ks in your life?
I did a half marathon. I've done a 10K. I've done a lot of 5Ks. Then my body was like, hey, ow.
Don't want to do that anymore.
Stop this. But yeah, I've done a lot of running in my time.
So if your body is saying stop this, that means I will not see you at Storm the Bastille tonight.
That's right. Why do I think it's tomorrow? You might. Who knows? I got the night off.
Oh.
I might be on the side being like, hello, everybody, I'm running. I love Storm the Bastille. I don't know if this is, I don't want to say politically correct, but the thing I love about the Bastille run, it's the only run I've ever done where you see a guy drinking a full beer and smoking a cigarette while running down the road.
In a beret,
yeah. It's like, oh, I love to run. I love
twirling his mustache.
I love French things like running and cigarettes.
Well, I will be there. Mike is organizing Storm the Bastille, as he did last year for the second year in a row. And it is tonight. It is a night run. It's at 9 p.m. You can still register if you are in the Milwaukee area and want to be part of Storm the Bastille. But I'm excited because I wasn't in town last year. And so this will be my first storming of the Bastille. I will not be storming. I will be handing out beer and water at the finish line for people because this kid is not. It's a fast walk at best these days.
A brisk pace.
Yes. But I'm excited because and then this is the kickoff of Bastille Days. So of our many Epcot Center cultural festivals that happen every year of embracing around the world drinking of Miller or Bud Light products everywhere you go.
Have I ever told you that I think Epcot is the greatest park on earth?
How old were you the last time you went to Epcot?
It was September 30th, 2012.
Oh, so you were an adult.
Yeah, I was there for the 30th anniversary, just by chance. I didn't plan it. I'm not a Disney person, but we were there, and I love Epcot. It brings a lot of great memories for me, some emotions, because went there as a kid, and it's a really fun place. I think everyone should go.
I have not been back to Disney World or any Epcot or any of it since I think I was the last time I was there 13. So, we'll see. I'm not super out of all the places I could visit right now. I'm not really wanting to go to Florida.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But let's take the show on the road, I say.
Yeah, I would. I do like Disney. Yeah. And I don't remember Epcot very well from the one time that we went there. But yes, yeah, so registration is still open. You can get, you won't get a t-shirt anymore, but you will get a bib and a post-race beer or bottle of water. And it's going to be super fun. I think it's close to 3,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. And I was handing out t-shirts on Tuesday. People looked excited. And so I'm excited to be part of it.
Then you look at them after they're done running and they're like, oh my God, why do I do this?
I don't don't know. Five K is really not that.
No, 5Ks are really fun because you get to watch the young like high schoolers practicing for their like cross country. They're like they'll run that 5K in like 11 minutes.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, thanks, buddy, as you're just sipping your Miller Lite.
Walking.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that tonight. I don't know what else is. There's probably other festivals going on this weekend in Milwaukee because it's the summer.
Harley Fest.
Oh, yeah. Harley Fest. I'm seeing Foo Fighters on Saturday.
Oh, cool. Thanks for that.
Sorry to not invite you. Are you seeing? Are you going to Harley Fest at all?
No, that scares me. There's a lot of noise. People.
You look like you would be. No, why would you be scared?
No. It's not that I'm scared of them. They're all dentists. I'm not scared of any of them. I don't like great groups of people. And I mean, I don't like giant groups of people.
Great groups.
I only like bad groups of people.
Yes, exactly.
Pure scumbags. That's what I want. I don't know.
Trash icon.
It's just, that's right. I'm a trash icon, people. I am a trash icon. It's just not my jam. I've seen Foo Fighters. I've seen Green Day. Those are great shows. I'm good. Have fun. Foo Fighters. Have you ever seen Foo Fighters? When I saw them, they did like 20 minutes. And then he said, you know what? We're not going to do an encore tonight. We're going to play till we're done. And they played 3 hours.
Wow.
They didn't make us wait 20 minutes while they went back and like got a drink or like toweled off.
Played the game.
They just kept going and going until they were done. And they were done. 3 hours in.
I'm pretty excited. Like it was one of those, it's not that I would say, oh my God, I'm like huge diehard Foo Fighters fan, but it feels like one of those bands where it's like, you know those songs. They've been around forever. Dave Grohl is a national treasure.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to see them, I was like, yeah, let's absolutely go. So I was
always
super pumped. Good to
see it. Always so
good. So lots happening this weekend. Super excited about it. We got one more day till the weekend. And tomorrow I have already made my appointment to go donate blood for Civic Bleedia, which is Greg's really trying to make Civic Bleedia happen, and no one's jumping on board besides me. But
thank you. That means so much. That was one of my finest pieces of work.
Of course, we're talking about our hashtag Civic Pints blood drive that Civic Media is sponsoring, endorsing. We're running a contest, but basically anytime between today and the end of the month, if you donate blood and you take a selfie and you post it with the hashtag Civic Pints, you will be entered to win a variety of prizes. We're giving away Brewers tickets. We're giving away State Fair tickets. We're giving away Civic Media swag packs. And we're also just in general trying to do what we can to help the ridiculous blood shortage that we're having in Wisconsin right now. And so we need your help. Yep. So be a part of the hashtag Civic Pints blood donation challenge. I will be there tomorrow. I can't win.
Neither can I.
But you already donated.
Yep.
I'm donating tomorrow. I have to look and see how many hashtag Civic Pints pictures we can see already, because I know every show is promoting this. We're challenging our listeners to get involved because it's super easy.
Yeah, you can, if you want, follow me on I Am Greg Bach on the socials. You can see what I did on Threads and Twitter.
Did you do something? Did you just...
I posted my picture. Yeah. I little thing, put the hashtag, and you're good to go.
You're good to go. Super easy. And you can tag me in it. You can tag us in it. I'll retweet it or share it to my story. If you tag As Goes Wisconsin or at Kristen Bry on any of the social medias, I'll share anything that you post for when you go donate blood. But please do it, because we need it, and the doctors need it, and sick people need it, and it's important to, I don't know, give back, give blood.
If everybody who's eligible could do it and would do it, there would be no shortages. Once a year, if you donated once a year, there would never be a shortage if you were eligible.
That's a wild statistic. All right, well, that'll about do it for us today. Come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Stick around now for the newscast, the noon newscast, and then town call. But as always, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the show. Come back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. Help them out. Slow down, stay focused, and eliminate distractions. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.